Greetings, everyone. Welcome to D-Green with Amy. I'm Amy. After adopting a whole food plant-based lifestyle, my hubby Rick and I lost over 130 pounds. Now I coach others on their plant-based journey. Jess Tass Boyce, let's welcome our guest.
Mariquita Solis is a vegan empowerment coach and community engagement specialist on a mission to guide vegans towards effective activism while nurturing inner peace. Please show your warm welcome by clicking that like button to help Be Green with Amy. Welcome, Mariquita Solis.
Greetings, Green Warrior, and welcome, Mariquita.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Amy.
Yeah, Green Warriors, are you struggling with food addiction or facing challenges from sabotaging thoughts on your journey toward a healthier plant-based lifestyle? Well, you're not alone. And today's broadcast is here to provide support and solutions. Green Warrior, get ready for an empowering session. Today, we have the incredible Mariquita Solis. She is a vegan empowerment coach, and she's going to be sharing her wisdom on overcoming food addictions and sabotaging thoughts. So just get ready for an insightful journey towards a healthier plant-powered life. I'm so excited about this. So I was recently on Mariquita's show, and I'm going to put a link to that broadcast. And I kind of talked about my history with the plant-based lifestyle and how I, all the different things that I benefited from and the ways I benefited from it. And now it's so nice to have you on my show. So we really have a wonderful way with this broadcast of meeting really special people. And I get to meet them, and my Green Warriors get to meet them as well. And so that's, we have somebody said, so glad you're on this video. So they couldn't say who they were, but apparently somebody that you know.
Tell us who you are, please.
Yeah, somebody does. So what I like to do when I have guests on the show, I like to play our game of true or false. I think that's what we're going to start off with.
It's time for true or false on Be Green with Amy Live. Answer true or false to Amy's questions in the comments below, and Amy will ask our guest for the expert answer.
Okay. So here's our first true or false. Green Warrior, you just type in your answer. True or false, breaking free from food addiction requires complete avoidance of all trigger foods. So what do you think the answer is, true or false? And Mariquita, maybe you can also talk about what trigger foods are, because maybe not everybody is familiar with that word. They might know what it is, but they might have heard it called that.
It's going to trigger physical impulses in your brain for more food, where you're really in that state of just kind of oblivion and eating the chips without even thinking, right? And so, yeah, you see the chips, and it's going to trigger your brain to be like, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm. Right. But now a trigger food may not be this, like a trigger food for you or me, it might not be the same one, right?
Right. Yes. It depends on the person, right? Definitely. You know, it could be peanut butter, could be ice cream, could be chocolate chips, cookies. Just seeing the picture. I mean, the other day I just saw a picture of a cookie and I was like, oh my gosh. And it was just on my brain. It was triggering me. Definitely.
Wow. Yeah. So we have some people that have answered. Greetings, Marion said true for me. And, oh, okay, this Facebook user, that the mystery has been solved. This is Chris in North Carolina. I'm one of Mariquita's friends.
Yes,
Chris. Hi, Chris. So now we know. All right, so now that we kind of went through what a trigger food is, what's the answer?
Well, the answer is we are able to, we don't have to avoid all trigger foods when we're eating mindfully, right? When we're not on that autopilot, we are able to eat them slowly and calmly when we're aware of each bite and in a whole different brain state. This is a relaxed brain state that is a brain state that's very mindful. in each bite of eating and tuned into their body. Because when really on those trigger foods and we're out of control, we're not in that mindful state. We're not aware of the feelings of our body. We don't give our body time to tell us, hey, I'm full, right? You're full. And we're just off on autopilot, just downing the whole bag of chips or the whole pint of ice cream. So when we really get into it, you know, switch the brain state, we can have just a few bites and we can listen to our body and our body says, you're full. And we can say, okay, I'm aware now. And this time I've made a commitment to listening to my body. So it takes practice. And gentleness is crucial, gentleness with ourselves and awareness. And if it's very natural to fail quickly though, get up and try again. Don't get stuck on the roadblocks.
Right. And a lot of these trigger foods, I mean, they seem to be designed to be trigger foods.
Right. By scientists. Right. Exactly. They're very good at, I mean, they know what they're doing. When we're picking up a cake from the store, we're designed to eat those high calorie foods. But I mean, high calorie foods, these are not the high calorie foods that naturally and biologically we're designed to eat. A high calorie food might be an avocado, right? And those aren't going to be out there for us to be just downing avocados. So yeah, things have really changed. These are Franken foods. And so it's no doubt that that we are craving them. They're designed for that.
Yeah. And we're already seeing some people are definitely responding to this, because this is something that I think a lot of people are relating to. Matt said, I can avoid trigger foods fairly easily, but once I take a single bite, the whole box is getting eaten so hard.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk about that too, about mindfulness and about supporting yourself, right? What are we going to start saying? You know, I choose to eat slowly and calmly, and I choose to see myself on this journey, right? And I choose to eat this one little raisin with thoughtfulness, this one piece of chocolate, and with thoughtfulness and quiet, and I'm setting myself up for that, right? Knowing that it's little exercises, it's practicing. So yeah, and it's okay. It's all right to, again, to fail. That's all part of life.
Yeah, and eating with thoughtfulness, I mean, not just with the foods that we might indulge in that may not be good for us, but also everything that we eat, we really should eat with mindfulness and thoughtfulness. And I've been learning about how we absorb nutrients. And if you don't chew your food basically to a cream, then it doesn't get digested well. And then even when you're eating very high nutrient food, your gut microbiome is not going to absorb all those nutrients, and a lot of them will just get passed out with your stool. So, I mean, people who have eaten corn say, wow, look what happens when you eat corn. Well, if you really chewed that corn to a cream, you wouldn't see it.
Good point.
So,
I love it.
So I think that's an indication for all of us, because I think most people, when they eat corn, that they see it in the toilet. So that's showing that we have to be more mindful and take our time and slowly chew, because digestion begins in the mouth with our teeth, right? And that's how it's supposed to be. So I think that's a good indication. So if any of you out there have eaten corn and had that experience, then you're going to have to up your game and being mindful.
Right. And yeah, and think about where the food came from. I was eating some beans and rice, and I thought about the beans. I mean, who was farming all this, the rice and the beans and just all the steps in the process, right? I mean, think about that. This little bowl of beans and rice has come so far from its original state with the help of so many people. And we're just like, if I'm just rushing it down, it's really not honoring them. Like, every bite is just a blessing. So when we really can be in the state of a spiritual sort of eating, right, and giving, having gratitude for every bite is a blessing. We can slow down and be in tune with the foods of the earth, right? That those are the foods that are not going to, they're not designed to trigger us to overeat. So yeah, it's a spiritual experience. If you can make it a spiritual experience, it's there.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people who either suffer with food addiction or who have adopted the plant-based lifestyle, we like to eat, right? And so, and food is important to us. And so I think you're right that we really should take time to stop and have gratitude and think about what it took to get that food to our plate and really appreciate it. And I think it'll be better for us as far as our digestion and also to help keep away from these foods that are trigger foods. And then we have, well, I guess this might still be Chris, said something I do is make sure I keep healthy foods in my fridge and pantry. I just don't bring unhealthy foods into my home. It's my way of setting myself up for success.
Yes, I love that. I love it. Yeah, I'd really try to do that also, because I realize when I eat out in the world that it's going to be different. So I kind of save my special foods or not as healthy foods for out there. And then I come home and, you know, it's like that 80-20% or 85, whatever you want to say. Just really trying to, nobody's going to be 100% eating broccoli and every carrots and every, maybe JJ though, my friend who's on vegan.
Friend JJ.
JJ will be, but
hi JJ, he's probably watching.
but yeah, even JJ has a cookie here and there now. So yeah, so I love that, those suggestions, and I think that is Chris for setting ourselves up for success.
Yeah, that is great. I mean, there's a saying: if it's in your house, it's in your mouth.
Stomach, mouth. Okay.
Yep. It's in your house, it's in your mouth. And no matter how strong you think you are, even if you're not looking at it, your little brain knows that it's in there, and you're going to be thinking about it even subconsciously. And then eventually you'll find some excuse to say, I deserve this right now because I'm blank. And I'd like to hear from the Green Warriors that are watching, have you ever had that voice in your head that said, well, the heck with it, I'm gonna eat this because I deserve it, because I'm, and then tell me what it is that your reasoning, that your mind is telling you that you deserve this work. I'm tired, I'm sad, I'm whatever it is. But I would like to hear what it is that you think about when you make that excuse for yourself. But I agree, keeping it out of your house, that's a really good strategy. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about with this particular question there, Akita?
Well, there, I was going to say, like, sometimes they'll say, like, I would put food really high up, you know, so it wasn't so accessible. If I'm seeing it all the time, if you're seeing it all the time, you're right. And then you're being pulled back. So it's better. But I love, you know, the main thing is this awareness, this talking about it and looking at how our behaviors, without judgment, just being aware is the first step to handling these issues.
Yeah, I can see now I have a 100% clean house, right? I don't, if it's in my house, it would be in my mouth. So there is no food in my house that is not compliant. But my husband, he's the principal cook. He likes to bake. He likes to make treats. And they're all whole food, plant-based, no sugar, oil, or salt. But they are calorie dense. And if you ate a lot of them, it would make you gain weight, which could lead to poor health. And we had a wonderful friend who stopped by to say hello, who happens to be plant-based as well. And his wife sent over some peanut butter cookies that she made, homemade, no sugar, oil, or salt. And she had it in this beautiful little gift box, you know, and it was so kind of her. So, of course, in my mind, I said, well, I can't keep it in this box. I have to put it in a container that's going to keep it from going bad quickly, right? But what about my subconscious mind? My subconscious mind was like, here's a good excuse to handle these cookies. Maybe something good will happen, you know? So I did that. And then there was a little paper towel on the bottom of her little cute little container that she gave us. Well, it was just a cardboard kind of box. And there were the crumbs. So I said, well, I'm just going to take a few of these crumbs, right? And then, whoa, my brain lit up because that high-calorie dense peanut butter and maybe dates were in there, whatever, all these calorie-dense things, they just lit up my brain. And these tiny little crumbs. And then one of the cookies kind of broke off a little piece because they were very soft and homemade and nice. And well, I may as well eat that too. And then before I knew it, I had a cookie in my mouth. You know, and I can imagine, I think that for some people, there would be no holding back, that all those cookies would immediately have been gone. And before they would even come up for air and realize what happened, you know. For me, unfortunately, I wasn't hungry at the time. If I was hungry, I probably would have eaten them all. But on a spectrum, because I believe there's a spectrum of food addiction, I'm not at the, you know, can't stop myself. I'm going to eat it until I'm going to burst. I'm not in that area, but I'm not at the other end where, oh, I can just have one and walk away, you know. So, but I can see that there are some people that really would have been difficult. And probably I would have had more, but I had my husband who knew that the cookies were there. And wow, if I ate all those cookies and he didn't even get to have one, that wouldn't have been very nice. So that might have been something that helped me from eating them all. But that, I don't know if Green Warriors, if you have ever had something like that happen to you, can you relate to that and tell us about that in the comments? But yeah, I think that there, even when something is healthy, you can still overindulge.
Yes, amen to that. You can. So yeah. Again, back to the mindfulness. And yeah, it takes work. I mean, it's not just like... it's going to happen overnight.
Yes, exactly. And you can't beat yourself up though, right? I mean,
No, that's the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do, because the person that you're beating up is the one that's trying to achieve the goal. So mm-hmm. we want to uplift that person and yeah. we want to love that person. And if that person's 300 pounds, we have to love that 300 pound person because that's the one who's going to get the job done.
Yes. You're right. You're so right. That's very good. Okay, so let's try this next true or false question, Green Warrior. True or false, food addiction is solely about the types of food consumed and not the overall eating behavior. Okay, type in your guess. All right, Narikita, tell us about that.
Well, I think if we're going back to what we were talking about just now, I mean, the mindfulness, right? What is the eating behavior? And we need to look at that as just an observer without judgment. What are my eating behaviors? And the sooner we are recognizing those, the sooner that we can change, we are able to change and make better habits. These are habits. So what are the habits when we sit down to eat? Are we sitting down to eat and eating in front of a TV and not even paying attention, and we eat and it's like, well, you know, I ate lunch, and then an hour or two later I think, well, did I even eat lunch? Because we're not even mindful. And it's like, I want to have that nice feeling of eating lunch and calm, but now I've got to eat again, right? And if we're eating foods that are not whole food plant-based, but they're a bunch of junk, so our bodies are going to think we're hungry still because we didn't get our nutrients. So what are these behaviors that are around our eating? We have to look at those and handle these, and then we make better choices about how we eat.
Very good. I'm glad that you talked about that some more, because it is all related, absolutely. Okay, let's see. We are going to go to the next question, and that is, true or false, people can develop a tolerance to certain foods requiring larger amounts to achieve the same satisfaction. Okay, Green Warrior, what do you think? Marikita?
Yes. Yes, just like alcohol, just like cocaine. I mean, these foods are hitting, I mean, they're triggering that area in our brain. And so we're having to eat more cookies, more ice cream to get that same sense of satisfaction. So, and that's why every time we're doing the habit, I mean, we're getting triggered and then we get into our habit, right? And then we're just building that muscle, which is the wrong muscle to build, that habit trigger muscle about getting. So we're like, what's the trigger? What's the behavior? And then what are we getting from that? And so if we keep doing that over and over and over, we're building the wrong muscle. So what we need to be doing is seeing why we're triggered. You know, what triggered us? Was it sadness? Was it loneliness? Was it boredom? Right? And so then what are we going for? You know, are we going for the ice cream? Are we going for the chips? And then what, how are we eating? This is all discovery. How are we eating, right? Is it mindless eating, right? And then we're able to turn this around. What's the first step is awareness, non-judgmental awareness.
Yeah, that's so important. I wanted to, I think I just saw, yes. Oh, look at this. Greetings, Shanice. She said, love you both. What great activists. So you know, Shanice, I imagine that you did. Do you know, I have to tell you quickly how I know her.
Okay, tell me.
She was managing a Facebook group called Effective Plant-Based Vegan Diet Activism, I should say. And she was going in another direction and didn't have the bandwidth to manage that page and other things as well. And so I said, okay, I'll do it.
Ah.
So that's kind of how we discovered each other. So she's still doing some really great things, and I should even have her on the show one day, but I guess that's how I know her anyway. So it's a lot of fun to see different names pop up here and friendly faces. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning of the show, how it's such a privilege when doing broadcasts like this. And I'm sure when you do it on your show as well, Marikita, that you have met so many wonderful people that have such positivity and such great things to do for the world and share with us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I met Shanice because my Facebook group is Empowered Vegans and hers is Vegan Empowerment. So she found me.
Oh, look at that. See that? That's very, very interesting. Yeah, so you probably have a few things that you have some in common that you can kind of support each other or something.
Right.
So I wanted to ask the Green Warriors that are watching now, what are the main challenges that you encounter when you're trying to maintain a whole food plant-based lifestyle in your day-to-day routine? So tell us about that in the chat, and maybe we can talk about that with Marikita. Okay, so we have another true or false question. Green Warriors, get ready. And let's see. I think we have true or false. Did I just do this one? Wait a minute. No.
Yeah, that was the one.
I'm sorry?
That's the one you did.
Yeah, that's the one I just did. I said, that looks familiar. Okay, true or false, food addiction is only about a lack of willpower and self-control. Okay. Green Warriors, type in your answers. Okay, Marikita, tell us about that.
Well, that makes me sad, just the question, because I see so many people being judged, you know, like these people are lazy and they don't have any willpower, you know, and it's so much more than that. I mean, food addiction. I mean, when we're trying to heal ourselves with food, and it's so funny that food becomes the healer when we've stepped away from the earth, like the natural elements of the food from the earth and the earth's healing power, right? And friendships and laughter, these are so healing, right? So we're choosing the chocolate cake instead of something that really nourishes our soul. So it's not about the lack of willpower and the self-control. It's about, again, the habits that have been formed. And as children, if we got a good grade, many times we were given cookies. So in order to feel good, there's the reward. You know, I did good, now I get a cookie. So you just take that into life, right? Like you were saying, how can I justify eating these? You know, so the same thing. And, you know, so then you've established that cookie is going to, it's going to soothe you because you've already set it that way in your brain. So when you're feeling sad, you think, oh, well, the cookie is the solution, instead of let me call Amy, let me cry to her and she will comfort me, right? When the real human connection is lost. So we really have to look at ourselves. I mean, like, what are our needs here? So it's not willpower. I mean, willpower is, and it's about looking again at yourself and not being on autopilot. I can't say that enough, right? And tuning into this whole world experience, which many times we're missing when we're going so fast throughout the day. And again, like the gratitude for the food, gratitude for the people that built the table, for the person that sits, you know, built this chair that I'm sitting in, and the spoon, you know, all the factory workers that were in the factory to create the spoon. So all of it is mindfulness. So yeah, and that has nothing to do with willpower or self-control.
Those are really good strategies to consider. Absolutely. I love that. So have you personally overcome any challenges or resistance when you transitioned to a plant-based lifestyle?
Yeah, definitely. Because I was so used to eating junk and I never thought about nutrients. You just go through life not really thinking. And then I guess you just take for granted that, let's just say, the packaged cereal that I ate as a child and had all these vitamins and minerals. So you think, wow, that's that was very, very healthy. But it's really, now I question that, of course, as an adult. I question, and I look at the cereal boxes, and I don't think that anymore. I think now I have a new awareness. What really is the foods of the earth, and what are these foods? But yeah, it was hard to overcome breaking the old habits of just reaching for cakes and cookies and junk and chips. Because, again, I was very addicted to eating that way, mindlessly. Any time of the day, there's always a reason, like you're saying. You can always justify it, right? I'm tired, so let me just grab something. And that's why it's very important, like Chris and you were saying, to have make sure to have a clean house, because we know when we get tired that we're going to be run down. We only have a certain amount of strength a day, and that they say that emotional muscle is, you know, it's running down in the afternoon. So that's so being aware of that and giving ourselves breaks. Meditation really helps. Grounding exercises, right? Just breathing, feeling like you're putting your hand on your chest and feeling your breath for maybe 30 counts. What I like to do is go walking, and there's an exercise for that. When you're walking, like every 3 or 5 seconds, you see, am I feeling, you know, being aware, like, am I feeling now? Am I hearing or am I seeing? You know, what am I doing? What sense am I using, right? Of all the senses, and there's many more than five. So being aware, right, of this, of the senses, and that's mindful. That's grounding. We have to ground ourselves. If we catch ourselves in the midst of running to the cookie jar, I mean, and just take a pause. I mean, many times it's very hard to do that. We've already lost it. But if we're able to, I mean, that's a huge step.
Yeah, I think that we share a lot with the animals in nature. someone recently gave their friend a birdhouse, and it's one of these birdhouses that it's made out of plastic, and you can stick it onto your window so that you can put the bird seed in there and actually witness the birds coming in to eat. And someone who loved birds said, you better make sure that you always have that bird seed there, because now you are making those birds know that they can depend upon that bird seed being there all the time. And they are going to expend a lot of calories and energy and maybe even put their lives in danger from predators in order to get to that bird feeder. And if they go through all that and there's no bird seed there, then now what are they going to do? They're going to have to figure out something else. And usually what happens is those birds, if there was no seed there, they might come back quite a few times to the bird feeder. It, even if it was empty, they would still keep coming back, you know? And it, I always think about that when I think about people who they'll go to their refrigerator and open it up and stare inside and then close the door because there's nothing of interest in there, and then only to come back an hour later and open it up as if something different happened, which it didn't, but.
No, I know, I've done that, definitely.
Right, and it's because I think it's our primitive brain that is saying, you have had rewards in the past. Good things have happened when you have opened this door. Go back, maybe something will be there to reward you. You know, so we're fighting our primitive brain, you know.
Yeah, you're right, definitely we are. Exactly, right? The primitive brain that wants the high calorie food for the winter. Right, to store up the fat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and then I was talking to somebody else, I think it was on my show, where I was saying, imagine if you're just about to eat that thing that you really shouldn't be eating, and you know that you shouldn't be, but you're just about to do it, and then suddenly the doorbell rang. And then so you went and answered the door, and it was your neighbor, your friend, and you're talking, you know, to them, maybe you stood by the door and talked to them for a little while, maybe had invited them in and talked to them a while, and suddenly that the food that you were just about to eat, it's not in your mind now, right? You just got distracted into something else. So we are able to be distracted away from those things. We just have to figure out what we need to do to make that happen.
Right. And then, yeah, I mean, maybe it's call a friend, right? Hey, I'm struggling, Amy. Can you help me? Right. And you know, well, you're a plant-based life coach, so you'd be the perfect one to call. Like, oh my gosh, I see myself going downhill, right?
Yeah. I do have a few of my clients that they'll either call me or they'll text me, you know, and it's like, you know, talking, I have to talk them down, you know,
and it's
helpful. Sometimes they text me after the fact and I say, you got to text me before or during, not after. But well, we can try to do something for next time.
Yeah, that made me think of if you're visualizing, again, the power of visualization, which I can't say apparently, but like the basketball players, or like there were two teams, two groups, right? And one was visualizing piano players playing the music, and the other was actually practicing, but they both really did about the same because they were visualizing it. So we visualize, when we visualize ourselves, like not having that cookie, I visualize myself just stomping on cookies, right? And things that are not healthy. And I will, like, if I go to the store, sometimes also I'll say, look at this junk. And now I'm going to replace that yum with this junk. Mindfully, this junk causes me to feel bloated. It causes me to not fit in my clothes. I mean, so you have to, we're replacing instead of that reward, we're really looking at this realistically. What is that food causing us in our lives? And so when we replace that reward with the true reality of it, it's when we can start to shift. That's the mindfulness again, right? It's so I have done this, and I'm doing it now, this program called Eat Right Now. Have you ever heard of that?
No, tell me about it.
It's a little app, and it's by Dr. Judd Brewer. And so it does these mindful eating patterns, and he talks about with the raisin, just taking one raisin, slowly looking at it. And so we don't even look at our food many times, right? Looking at it, smelling it, right? And so the exercises in the Eat Right Now program are like that too. You know, you look at your food, you smell it, and you acknowledge it, right? You might want to thank the food. Thank you, little bowl. You know, thank you for nourishing me, right? So it's a very different experience. And then holding it in your mouth, and putting your fork down between bites, right? You're eating slowly, and it's all, and you're not going to be distracted. You're just going to simply eat with this food and not the TV, not talking to someone else. I mean, ideally, but yeah, so it's, he did this with smokers, I think was the first little app that he had. And so it's really interesting because with smokers, when they really taste the cigarette, like, okay, I want you to go smoke and taste the cigarette and how it, you know, your smell and everything afterwards. And it's so, you know, it really worked for them. So then he took it into this food. And yes, because you're replacing that reward with the real, you know, I feel bloated, you know, I feel disgusted. I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. No, I feel bad about myself. I mean, what's the reality here when I eat this bag of chips instead of, well, this bag of chips is going to be my healer, this miraculous healer.
Yeah, that's it's definitely a state of mind that we have to definitely change as far as how we're thinking about things. That can be very helpful. I had previously had on a guest. His name is Al Schmidt. And he's an older gentleman, and he had heart disease, and he did wonderful things, losing weight and reversing his heart disease. And he talked about food addiction, and he said that, I think that, well, I don't remember where he read it, but he said it's something called HALT. So it's, are you hungry, angry? I think it's lonely or tired. And so, and that's what I was asking the Green Warriors to type in, which one is the one that triggers you the most, or maybe all of them hit you up. And these are sometimes the reasons why we might eat things that we shouldn't be eating. And it's not out of hunger, right? It's for a different reason.
Right. I notice for myself, it's a lot of time just boredom, you know, or, you know, I want someone to talk to. And again, this is all about perfectly imperfect, non-judgmental discovery, right? Discovering what's going on. How did these things start? Right? Where did it start? And especially with women being taught that we have to be super skinny. I was a tennis player as a child, and I remember in sixth grade thinking I was fat. Well, I wasn't fat at all, but it was the standards and feeling bad about myself. I remember not being able to donate blood because this was in high school. I weighed 110 pounds. And so the thought that I thought I was fat then, it's just really sad. So these behaviors have built we give the society a lot of, thank you society for putting the pressure on me, you know, but you know, where did they come from? And how can we console that little girl, like that little child in sixth grade? How can I go back to her and say, hey, you were beautiful then, you just didn't see it. You were perfect then. Right? And it was society that was saying that you weren't good enough, you know, and society telling you these things. And so to really give care to our little inner child that was taught to hate herself.
Are you saying that you couldn't donate blood because they said that you didn't weigh enough?
I couldn't. Yes, I couldn't give blood because you have to be over 110.
Yeah, that's what happened to me too. And in my mind, I thought that I needed to lose weight too.
Oh my gosh, I know, huh? It's really sad. But then when you think you have to lose weight, then you can't eat. And then it starts, right? The cycle of like, I can't eat that. So now I'm going to sneak and eat it, right? And I can't eat the ice cream. So now I'm going to eat a pint just for tonight. And then I'll never eat it again.
The promises and the negotiating that people do, that we do, we all do it to some extent or another, and we don't even realize it, and it can really send you down to a place that's not very good, And that was one of the reasons why I adopted this lifestyle. I mean, I'm compassionate and caring about the animals and the planet, but when I learned that I could eat all the healthy food that I wanted until I was comfortably full, and I didn't have to weigh food or measure food or count things or push away the plate, I'm in.
I know, you're right. I know, you're right. You're right, exactly. And it's a lot different if you overeat on some grapes compared to a tub of ice cream, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I love what you were talking about the birds, because it reminded me how animals don't have these issues. They are listening to their bodies, right? And they're eating natural, I mean, unless we're throwing junk out there from them, right? They're eating, they're in tune with nature again. They're in tune with the earth. And mm-hmm. so when we get back in tune with the earth, then we can heal ourselves by eating this beautiful bounty that we're so blessed to have. And when we see our bodies, when we recognize how we are so divine and how we want to honor our bodies and really mindful about that, you know, I love my body and I want to give her the nourishment she deserves because I love myself. And that's, again, that goes back to, of course, self-compassion, self-love, and that's crucial here in these changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And Green Warriors, if you have a question for Marikita, put it in the chat, and we will bring that up to her a little bit later on the broadcast, or maybe sooner than later. And I think, we did have some people who emailed and messaged me some questions as well. So maybe I'm going to start with one of those. And this is from Jane. Jane wants to know, can you provide guidance on creating a supportive environment at home for individuals transitioning to or maintaining a plant-based lifestyle?
Well, I think it's important to have friends, right? And to evaluate what you have at home, right? What needs to... So I don't know really what the home life is like here for Jane. But I would say, like we were saying, make sure that your house is clean and take it slowly, right? There's just know that there are addictions to break they probably are. Not necessarily, but they most likely are. And so do the best that you can. And maybe keep a journal. And I would definitely, like, sometimes I have a little calendar, and the days that I do good, like, I'll put a little star in the past, so you see your progress. And don't take on too much at once. Just go slowly, introducing these new foods and follow Amy with her great recipes and other people with their, like the Esselsteins have, there's a lot of great YouTube and free online. And Amy has a cookbook. But the supportive home, definitely keep a clean house, I think, like we were talking about earlier. Get friends, get help. Don't do it by yourself.
Yes, I think that's very important to have a tribe. We have a Green Warrior tribe here. You have a tribe with your social media. And so at the very least, you can go onto social media and find people who are like-minded and are going through similar struggles that you can talk to. That's at the very least that you can do that. And then you could always get a coach like Marikita or me to help you if you needed it that way. And I wrote a blog about how you could find local people that are in your area that are doing this and meeting together to have potluck dinners and different events, or how you could start a group up if that's not the case. I'll put a link to that in the show notes that you can look on a certain map and see if there are any groups of people that are going through what you're going through and have adopted this lifestyle. But definitely that's something that's very important to do. Okay, let's see. We'll go back to our next question. So Alicia said, how can one navigate social situations where non-plant-based foods are prevalent without feeling isolated or tempted to stray from the lifestyle?
So I always take my food, and I'm going to go into this knowing I'm not expecting them to provide food for me, and I'm not going to go in angry if they don't provide food for me. I'm not going to go in feeling I'm left out. I'm going to go in knowing that, so that really people haven't awakened, and I'm going to go in with compassion for them. So, I mean, this is the foundation I have to set. If I don't, then I'm going to fail. So knowing that, unfortunately, that they're not awake and they're hurting themselves with this kind of food, I'm going to take my food and be responsible for myself. And I'm going to take enough food. So if other people might want to try it, which is wonderful, I encourage you to do that, because this is these are the seeds that we can plant for others. So be joyful in who you are, that you've seen the light, and that you're really trying to incorporate these beautiful foods and share them with others. And I would focus on what a change maker you are, because what you're doing is against the norm and how confident you are to break away from these traditional roles, you know, these traditional eating habits. So, I mean, already you're a superstar. So I would really focus about that, and you be that shining light. Right? Because you don't want to go in there and look like you're sad or isolated, because then people are going to be like, well, I don't want to be like her. But remember how amazing you are, and thank God you've woken up, and, you know, and celebrate yourself.
Yeah, those are good strategies. I know that I think about how if anybody ever had a child, a young baby, you would never leave the house without the diaper bag. You would have the diapers, you would have the wipes, and if you weren't nursing, you would be bringing a bottle, or if it was an old child, you'd be bringing snacks or even baby food, whatever. You would never leave the house without that, because you would always want to be prepared. And if you had a pet, it would be the same thing. If you were going on a long journey, you would always make sure that you would have something for that pet to eat and so forth. And so I'm always aware of that. Some people say, oh, just eat before you go. But I understand that it's a social situation and people still want to be seen eating, even if they did eat before they went. So that could be a good strategy. But I have found that when I do bring food, in the beginning, when I first adopted this lifestyle, I was invited to a family member's house, and they had a lot of people there. So they had a buffet style, and I put my food out there. And then when it was, I wasn't the first to get up to eat. And then when I got up there, there wasn't much left of the food that I brought. And I said, okay, there's a lesson. There are people that want to eat this food, and I should bring enough so that I can share and still have some for me when it's my turn to get up there. So I think it's a great opportunity to share these wonderful dishes with other people and show them how delicious it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I think you may have covered this, but like I said, these were emailed to me. So Jenna said, are there specific mindfulness techniques or mental exercises you recommend to combat sabotaging thoughts related to food?
Well, I think
I just wanted to add.
Yeah, when you see the sabotaging thoughts, or you're aware of them, you don't hate them, you acknowledge them, right? So we don't want to be upset by them. We just want to acknowledge you. I see you, right? And so I see that you're trying to trick me into thinking, all right, this cookie is going to bring me great joy. But in reality, I'm going to now, and this is very powerful, and I'm able to say, this cookie is really going to cause me to feel sick. I'm going to possibly overeat, and my jeans aren't going to fit tomorrow. Right. I mean, and then we really that's being very mindful. And again, like start out, like we were saying, with a raisin, quietly look at it, and, you know, quietly with every bite of food, put the fork down and take it slow, the gratitude again, but smell the food. Feel it in your mouth. Chew it up, like Amy says, like the corn. Right? Mindfulness and meditation. The more you meditate and the more you ground yourself throughout the day, it's going to help you. And grounding, like by touching, rubbing your hands together and just feeling that and being aware, just feeling without thinking, really focused on this. And smelling or just listening, take 30 seconds and listen. That's all really going to help your brain. It's going to change your brain. So all of this is helping these habit loops, overcome them with mindfulness.
Yeah, those are great examples, especially now more than ever because of so much technology that we're around all the time. There's always different things on our phones or other things beeping and dinging and catching our attention. And then you see little children in shopping carts and they've got their parents' phones in front of them and they can hardly even put a sentence together and they're already being unplugged from the real world. And we really need to get to where what our body was meant to do was to be in touch with our feelings and sensations from the nature, not from these all this technology. And I think that that's something that can, it sounds like it's a great plan because when we're out of touch with those things, I think that can be very stressful and drive us to want to eat things that we shouldn't be.
Exactly right. And I'm actually starting coaching people to get back to earth because it's really sad, this nature deficit disorder. So take your food and go sit out in the quiet, leave the phone inside and sit out and just be with that rock or be with that leaf. Just take a leaf and look at that leaf and really send that leaf love. I know this might sound hokey, but I don't care. Take that leaf and honor that little leaf, right? Honor her wisdom, her being here. Honor her beauty, right? These are all wonderful techniques for grounding and mindfulness and for gratitude in your life. Have gratitude for her, have gratitude for yourself, and eat an apple with that leaf. Today I ate lunch with a leaf. And what did I learn from her?
Yeah. And nature is just so amazing how there's just so many beautiful things that we get to experience and see. And a lot of them kind of repeat their patterns. I think about one time I was able to go on a snorkeling trip where I could look underwater with a snorkel tube so I could breathe out and so I could have my face in the water for a long period of time. And I saw different birds going around the water and I thought, this is so much like, I mean, fish in the water is so much like birds in flight in the sky. And so it's kind of a repeating theme. And I sometimes just like to look for those repeating themes just to see how nature copies itself in different forms. You know, so I might see the night sky and the stars, and I might see a wind blowing the sand, or I might see snowflakes blowing around on the ground. And they're kind of similar patterns. And there's just a lot of beauty that we're just walking around and we're missing out because we're not doing what you're saying, Marikita, is being more mindful and just observing things. And there's just so much beauty to it. And you think, I could never have made that. This is just amazing how these microscopic things got put together and created this. You know?
I know, you're right. We are missing it, right? There's so much to be thankful for, right? And if we just go outside the door and feel the breeze and just feel the air and give thanks for the sun, my gosh. Mm. I don't have to beg the sun to come out. She comes out every day. So yeah, it's amazing when we open to our eyes. I volunteer at the Nature Center, and this might sound crazy, but so I handle snakes and I teach people about snakes. So I was holding a snake and I actually made a video of this on my YouTube channel and a snake breathing in and out very calmly. And I never looked at the lungs on the snake, that area. So I just happened to see, it was like a beautiful little pattern, like a meditation of the snake breathing in and out. And it sounds creepy, but it was, again, mindfulness moment and how connected I am just like he or she was, you know, and we just enjoyed our time. When I hold the snakes, it's like a dance because we're weaving together. They're weaving through my hands. And it's something that this was a growth experience for me. I used to be afraid of snakes. And now I am talking to talking about how watching them was meditative.
Wow.
I know. I've come a long way, like that. They used to say, what's
that thing? Imagine previous you saying, are you kidding?
I know, right? Yeah. So there's just magic in every moment.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Even the quiet moments, even if it's not with a snake, even if it's just looking on the ground. And I remember we have three children, but of course they're adults now, they're not children. But when one of them was maybe a toddler, very young, just learning how to walk, and I had her outside, and it was fall, and a few leaves wound up going in this swirling action because of the wind. And she panicked because it was the first time she had ever seen that. In her mind, these were things that were maybe alive, you know, and these are things that I just was taking for granted. And I was watching them and I said, wow, look at how wonderful the breeze is, that it makes them all swirl around and look like as if they're alive. So there's just so many things that we can definitely look at and notice if we just stop and take that time. And maybe that's what our brain is trying to do when we're looking at these foods that are deleterious to our health, and we're trying to fill something that's empty. And maybe we're empty because we're not filling it with things that we could be filling it with if we just stop and watch.
Right. Yeah. Just take even a 15 minutes. Go out there and see what you can experience. Go be an explorer in your neighborhood. There's a tree or a little blade of grass that's waiting for you.
I love that. And thanks, said savoring the senses, little delights. Yeah, I agree. Very true. Very true. Okay. So, Avery emailed and said, I'm interested in starting a whole food plant-based diet. What are your go-to simple meals?
Well, I love avocado toast. That's very simple. I eat a lot of tortillas and rice and beans. Well, my parents were from Mexico, so my mom would make the homemade tortillas, which was a blessing. I don't get those homemade anymore, but I'm very used to tortillas with everything. And I have rice and beans, like I said, tofu scramble in the morning. Sometimes I'll make little wraps with avocado and just vegetable wraps or little vegetable sandwiches. And now I've learned to make my own oil-free dressing, which is just as good. And I'll put some of that, or actually hummus. My boyfriend got me into that, putting hummus on the wrap. So, I was just thinking, you know, there's oatmeal and the little chia seed pudding that you could have for breakfast. So I eat a lot of fruit to sweeten, like with oatmeal I'll have, or the fruit for the sweetener. And, broccoli, I just love, even my dog loves just regular old raw broccoli. Come running.
You're chopping that cutting board. It's like, it's time for my treat, isn't it?
Right. And chickpeas. I love chickpeas. They're very versatile. You know, there's a chickpea, the fake tuna salad that you can make with a chickpeas, which is wonderful. There's so much. There's so many, I think if we're just going back to whole food, go in the vegetable department. Sometimes I'll just have a little bed of rice and I'll cook some mushrooms and onion and put it on top, or just vegetables on top of that bed of rice, or stir fry. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy, but that's the fun part, experimenting and seeing what works. So I loved looking at the YouTube channel. I have a recipe playlist on my YouTube if anybody wants to go there and look for it. And Amy has a ton of recipes too, and her simple ones. What is it? Even I can do it.
Hey, I can make that.
Yeah. Right. So there's your answer.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite ones is, and it's, I started off with it when I first began in 2012. I would take a baked sweet potato, or more than one if I wanted. I wouldn't limit myself to one if I was hungry. And I would take black beans and maybe avocado and some low salt or no salt salsa, and just top that onto the baked potato, and it's very filling, very satisfying. And that's one of those things that if I went to someone's home, I could bring a platter of baked potatoes that were loaded with that, and they'd be gone by anyone, because they wouldn't think that, oh, there's some vegan weird thing, because it would look familiar and they would enjoy it and go back for more. So that's something that I always recommend. And oftentimes I forget how much I like it, because I'm, of course, as you evolve through the lifestyle, you wind up incorporating other foods into your menu. And then sometimes you say, wow, it's been a while since I had that. Why am I not eating that? That's really good. And then you bring it back again. So, yeah. And there's, like I said, Marquita has on her YouTube channel, which we're going to have links to that in the show notes. And she has great recipes that she shares. And I have them on my website, begreenwithamy.com. So there's quite a bit of resources out there that we didn't have when we began our lifestyle. With this lifestyle, it was a little more challenging for us to figure this out. So if we did it without as much resources as you guys have now, then you can do it, and you can make it happen. And you could always talk to me or Marikita if you have any questions, then we can help you with that. So I wanted to ask the Green Warriors if you could please click like and show your appreciation for what Marikita shared with us today. And Marikita, tell us about what you do and how we can find you on social media.
Well, I'm a vegan empowerment coach, so I help vegans that are angry, depressed, really struggling with the issues that go along with being a vegan many times. Really help them step into power and to create their life from a foundation of strength, and not this like, I'm all alone, nobody wants to hear the message, nobody wants to eat whole food plant-based, right? So we create it from like, I am an example for this to this world. The universe is standing behind me. You know, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to use my strong voice for myself and for the planet, for the plants, for the animals, and for Mother Earth. So we switch up. I mean, we're switching from that weak, debilitating state of self-sabotage into a powerful state with intention every morning. Just like intention, I get up and I'm going to eat whole food plant-based today. I'm going to eat healthy for my life. I'm going to honor my body. So we live our lives with intention. And then, like I said, I'm also starting the coaching for people that want to reconnect with Mother Earth, because we've lost our connection, and it breaks my heart. So I am doing that now also. So how to help people just with the simple joys of life, detach from this material world so that they can, their souls can be in peace, right? They can be, they don't have to eat the cupcakes to heal themselves. They can go out there and tune into Mother Nature and really experience life for what it is. You know, this is a beautiful planet. So helping people get back to that. So yeah, and I have a 12-week program coming up starting in February. It's a group coaching program, and we're learning through animal wisdom. So we will have, every week I'll go with an animal, and we'll talk about the animal's wisdom and how we can relate that to our vegan activism or whole food plant-based activism. We'll have a goal that you'll be working towards. So this is it's a 12-week intensive program. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, let me know, because I love learning from our animal brothers and sisters. So that's what's going on with me right now.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I wanted to also tell you that we are having a book drawing. We had a book giveaway, and we're about to announce the lucky winner of our book giveaway. This book is called The Plant-Based Life for Life Cookbook, and it's by the incredible Vicki Brett Gatch. She's actually a chef. So hit that like button and comment if you're excited to find out who's going to win, because we're going to be doing the drawing right now to see who's going to take home this fantastic cookbook which is going to help elevate their plant-based culinary journey. So I'm going to set that up now. I'm just hang on for a second so I can make sure that I am getting it all ready to go, because I'm the pilot here. So let's see, we got that. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that that was ready, and then we will put that up. There we go. So this is our wheel, and I'm going to spin to see who wins the book. Yay. So it's Karen C. Karen, thank you for entering for the drawing for this wonderful book. And Vicky is going to be sending you your copy. I'm going to get your information out to her. And Green Warriors, every once in a while, we have these great book giveaways. So if you subscribe to my YouTube or to my Facebook, or you can go ahead over to my website, begreenwithamy.com, and you'll find out, you'll get messages and notifications for when more of these wonderful book giveaways are available for you to join. And let's see. Oh, Shanice said, love you both. What great activists. We love you too, Shanice. So kind. Everybody is just so nice. And then I just, again, thank you, Marikita, for sharing your valuable insights and your wisdom about food addiction with my Green Warriors. Marikita, what is your final take-home message for our Green Warriors about food addiction?
Love yourself first and honor who you are. Really have self-compassion and remember you're perfectly imperfect. And I'm on your side. Amy's on your side. We're standing with you and we believe in you.
Oh, wonderfully said. I love that. Well, I also wanted to ask the Green Warriors to tell us what are you going to remember? What is your takeaway from today's presentation? I think for me is just grounding yourself, even though I know it, I need a reminder of it. So I thank you, Marikita, for reminding me that I need to when I'm out there in nature, and if I'm not, that I need to get out, step outside, and just take a look and notice things and take it all in and appreciate it. And I also wanted to thank Just Tass Voice. She did the promos. She has done so many voiceovers for us for the time that I'm doing this broadcast, and she's also going to tell us who is coming up next.
Good facts? Are we chasing a myth or unlocking the secrets to a healthier lifestyle? Join us as Dr. Peter Rogers dives deep into the truth about dietary fats that could revolutionize your plant-based journey. Learn what is not in any Harvard medical textbook and what most doctors don't know about dietary fats. Wednesday, February 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Be Green with Amy Live.
Green Warriors, your engagement and your thoughtful questions in the chat, they've just been invaluable. Please stay tuned because we're going to have more empowering discussions. And remember that your journey to a healthier plant-based lifestyle, it's a powerful step towards overall well-being. And thank you, Marikita. Thank you, Green Warriors. And as a special thank you to my Green Warriors, I am offering you 5 free recipes. So if you go to my website, begreenwithamy.com/join, then I can send you those 5 free recipes with some pictures of me doing some fun, challenging things and also some motivational posts that sometimes might arrive at the right time for you. And loving yourself is so important. And Marikita reminded us of that today. And I would like for all of you to take your right hand and grab your left shoulder and take your left hand and grab your right shoulder. Now squeeze, because that's a hug from me to you and a hug from me to you, Marikita. And if you want to join me and Marikita, as we say my tagline, you guys can type it in the comments. Are you ready, Marikita?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, until I see all of you again, remember, be strong. Be well and be green. Thanks so much, Marikita. Thank you, Green Warriors.
Thank you.
Now you can get 5 free whole food plant-based SOS-free recipes from Be Green with Amy. Just click on the link in the show notes, and Amy will send you 5 free recipes, motivational quotes, and more, so you can be strong, be well, and be green.